This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. About to hit you with some football's finest, and then we'll get into the expressway brought to you by the on-time experts. Hear what Tim McMahon had to say this morning with Sean and RJ. And then LA Live with Lucius Alexander at 540-ish right here in the nation. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius, and of course Carter Freeman. The General Gavin Dawson on vacation. Tell him what's up. Send him some well wishes on social media. He'll be back with us next week. But how about we get into some football's finest, Mr. Eric Chiafalo?
I'm seeing yesterday, you know, we had Terrence Steele pushing around an F-150 Raptor, pushing and pulling. Awesome Richards has joined the party.
They're in the Duke Manyweather class of offensive line guruship. So they're doing the same thing there. I think a lot of, like, Brock Hoffman's been there. I've seen Tyler Smith getting into work. So now Awesome Richards, who, that's going to be a name to kind of watch there when we get to training camp. How's Awesome Richards coming along in year two?
Yeah. He's a left tackle, right?
He is.
Yeah, so they're playing some guard too with him. They're trying a couple of different spots. It always worries me when they start moving linemen around because that means they don't have a spot, you know? So,
right.
But
he's your backup swing tackle, don't you think?
Well, I mean, Chuma Doga.
Yeah, but we saw how that went.
He's not
a tackle.
They saw him playing in games, and you're like, oh, okay, we can do this.
He cost you a game.
He absolutely did. And, I mean, they didn't play well in the Miami game anyway. You know, defensively, they didn't get a stop at the end when they needed
it.
I'm just saying, it worries me a little bit that Awesome Richards didn't show enough to beat out Chuma Doga last year. You know, when they had a chance to play, you know, hey, we drafted this Awesome Richards. To be honest with you, TJ Bass should have probably been picked in the fifth round, and Awesome Richards should have been the guy that maybe was the undrafted free agent, if you want to be real honest about things. It bothered me a little bit, though, that he never was able to push through.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And beat out Chuma Doga. You know, when they needed an offensive tackle to step up, whether it was Ball, Well, Let's Go.
Somebody just texted in what happened to Matt Well, Let's Go. He's just always hurt. That shoulder keeps popping in and out.
He had the subluxation of the both shoulders. And so, yeah, you really can't trust him to play. Those guys just haven't gotten bigger or stronger. I mean, I'm out there watching practice, and I was telling Bobby and Jane Slater, I'm like, listen, if you're an offensive lineman in the OTAs and you're wearing long sleeves and long pants while you're practicing, you're hiding something.
Is that one of your pet peeves? We talked about that on the draft show when we're doing the scouting.
Yes. If you're wearing long sleeves and long pants, you're hiding something. And these guys just haven't gotten bigger. And I'm sure someone's over there listening right now, no, they've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger. You know, I'm like, well, let's see what happens. But Awesome Richards, I watched him block guys at Clemson, Notre Dame, Florida State. He was blocking guys.
Tape wasn't bad.
Comes into the league. I kind of expected a little bit, but Chuma Doga said, no, you sit over there. You're not going to play this year. So, yeah, I hope.
I do too.
I'm hopeful that they need some of these other offensive linemen to step up. They need these third, fourth, fifth round offensive linemen to do a little bit better than they've been.
Absolutely, because they've been great in the first round, but outside of Tyler Biotish, they took in the fourth round, and then you got TJ Bass as an undrafted guy. Yeah. None of these other guys they've really taken flyers on day three have panned out at all and given you anything. Josh Ball was a swing and a miss.
Awful, awful. What do you guys think about this report from the Twitter NFL insider Pretty Ricky 213? You guys familiar with Pretty Ricky?
Pretty Ricky Fowler.
Pretty golfer? Ricky, what they call him.
is that a
several
song?
Guys have had the nickname Pretty Ricky.
I like the idea of it being the one that Lucius is describing there. That would be amazing if he was breaking some NFL news. But this guy, Ricky, Pretty Ricky 213 on Twitter, has over the years been one of these like random, sneaky, like anonymous NFL insider guys, and where he's like tweeting about things that are going to happen.
So a player or general manager.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly who this is. Like, this dude's got to
give me some examples. You have some examples?
Like, he called the Trevor Lawrence one a couple days before it actually happened.
Oh, the contract?
Yeah, the contract. What else has he had in the past? He's had some... it's been some stuff over the years here. Let me see. He's got a couple...
There might be a pattern that you can figure out. Is he a player or general manager? Is he a front office guy? Some of these front office guys can't help themselves.
It's just crazy to do some of that.
So it could be like a fake account.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a guy who's actually working in the league but hiding behind this. Yeah, exactly.
I saw what he said, and I think half of this is true.
Okay, so here's what he said about CeeDee Lamb. He tweets this yesterday, and we know that CeeDee Lamb, the reports from Calvin Watkins, that Lamb is not going to show up to camp if he doesn't have a deal done with the Cowboys by then. So they got a couple weeks to figure that out, or he'll be holding out. But now you have Pretty Ricky saying CeeDee Lamb's going to be requesting a trade if the Cowboys do not offer him a new contract worth at least $32 million per year. He wants to be at least the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think he does.
I threw that out there because it was funny because Jeff Kavanaugh was doing his podcast.
Yeah, you're talking about trading CD.
Yeah, and I said, he goes, Cowboy questions, go. And I said, what do you feel about the possibility of the Cowboys trading CD Lamb? And that was met with like total disdain and total like, you know, there's some people that are like, well, if you can't pay him, maybe you get something for him.
Well,
you know,
I think
there's some people thinking about that.
Yeah.
But the majority of the fan base was like, that's it. No. Brought us shut the hell up. No. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, just give it a couple of months. Because when we did that with Micah Parsons, we got the same response.
Oh, no.
And now it's very different.
I absolutely. And I did it not to say it was going to happen. But that's something we have not. We have talked about him. It's kind of been like that foregone conclusion that they say that he's going to sign.
Yeah.
That don't worry about him. He's going to sign. But nobody's talked about the potential of him maybe wanting to trade.
I guess it's just when have they traded outside of Amari Cooper, which they got nothing in return for, right? And Amari, I mean, we believe, I believe that that became a personal thing.
Yeah.
And also a guy that isn't going to be practicing during the week. There was some stuff there that, hey, they were like, we're moving on. But CD's gotten better every year. Like CD,
there's
to
no
me
question,
has earned that money.
You don't want to trade him.
No,
you
like
don't.
I don't see them trading CD Lamb. I think he absolutely is worth 32 years. Justin Jefferson's getting 35. The drop off between Justin Jefferson and CD Lamb is not that large. Yeah. I think 32, I would sign him today for that amount of money. Now, I think where you start to have that conversation is if they are moving on from Dak Prescott, is it worth it to pay a receiver that type of money when you have uncertainty at quarterback? That's a fair conversation to have.
I think the Minnesota Vikings are the clear example of what your team could look like if you get rid of Dak Prescott.
You bring in a Sam Darnold bridge guy and you draft J.J. McCarthy or whatever quarterback falls to you in the first round.
Yeah. I think because you got, and then you'll have a big time receiver out there. I don't know what you're going to do with Micah Parsons. You know, you'll see. But the Minnesota Vikings this year will tell you that's very well what the Dallas Cowboys could look like in 2025.
Yeah, I just wonder if they
get CeeDee Lamb done, they don't get Prescott done. And
the Vikings have a good offensive minded head coach. They're in a better position to have that work. Right now, the jury's out on. I talked about that last week with Mike.
I'm just telling you, to me, the Vikings are the team. The Vikings are the team that, and it's, they are the team that you, that could be the Dallas Cowboys of 2025. Brand new quarterback, bridge quarterback, you know, great receiver out there, some quality defensive players. That's what the, if the Vikings fall completely apart, that might be what the Dallas Cowboys look like. That could be the example just a year early. Like, okay, keep an eye on the Vikings. If they completely fall apart because of no quarterback and a high priced receiver and all, and then some pieces on the defense, that could be your example of what, you know, like, okay, you want to get rid of Dak? You're going to be the Minnesota Vikings 7-10, you know, with a rookie quarterback or a bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for the Cowboys, it might be one of those things because this upcoming draft isn't supposed to be very impressive at the quarterback position. Obviously, things can change after a full season of college football, and maybe we feel differently come draft time and if the Cowboys are in a position to take a guy or whatever. But I could see that being more of like a 2-year process before you actually draft the quarterback that you want. And We'll see how the McCarthy thing
but
works out.
But you guys understand
them,
how I'm describing it?
Oh, 100%. No, I think that there's a lot of parallels, especially with the, moving on from Kirk Cousins.
Right.
There's a lot of people that lump Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott into a similar tier.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
And again, really, when you look at the postseason success, you can't argue there's a huge difference between the two. Do I think Dak's better? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But in terms of what they've done at getting their team to have success in the playoffs, I think Kirk had, what, one playoff win? Dak's had two.
Yeah. I think the Vikings are your example of what your team could look like in 2025.
Don't disagree at all. There's another receiver update. You guys remember the Tyreek Hill story where he flew out a plus-size Instagram model and then like embarrassed her in the backyard on some football stuff, and she ended up breaking her leg?
Oh, yeah. Is she one of the baby mamas now?
No.
Did she win a suit?
Today she has asked Broward County judge for an immediate jury trial.
Yeah.
So if the request is granted, the trial could take place during the NFL season, and the trial could last anywhere from 7 to 10 days. So you could have a during the season Tyreek Hill jury trial situation going down. She's only asking for $75,000.
Whoa! What did she break?
Her leg. Doesn't that seem like...
Yeah, she got spun.
Seeking up to $75,000 in damages for battery, assault, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and negligence.
How much did the leg cost? What was that, $20K?
Yeah, I'm
thinking. After you get surgery?
Yeah.
Because my ankle was $10K. So how much is the leg? 20?
Probably double, I would think.
All right, so we'll get $40K.
We're settling, aren't we?
I think she's a little high on this one.
I mean, it sounds like rents due.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, she's asking.
Oh, wow.
It sounds like Rent doing. She's hustling hard for this situation.
Because without knowing like that type of background, I'd think $75K to Tyreek Hill, just write that off. But you're probably right. Once you know the context of it, she's asking for double.
Mm-hmm. Triple almost.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Because I was going to say she's underdoing this thing.
You're going to go for the whole gusto? You sound like the lawyer.
Yeah, I'm like, why are we only asking for 75? Yeah,
she might have some lawyer fees she has to take care of here.
Battery and assault, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
You're having bad dreams tonight, aren't you?
Did they do like Oklahoma drill?
You did eat for a while at first.
Yeah,
right?
This has really been tough on you.
Was it Oklahoma drill?
You developed autoimmune diseases because of this.
No, they weren't doing Oklahoma drills.
I thought they were doing Oklahoma drills.
Yeah, it was. So Sophie Hall claims that during a quote-unquote offensive drill.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means she lined up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
I'd imagine he's going quarterback and she's the center. I'm just imagining he's going under center.
I think she got jammed at the line.
Hill, quote, charged into her violently with great force.
There you go.
Like football.
Resulting in significant and serious injuries. The crushing force was so great that she sustained a right leg fracture, necessitating surgery with metal hardware implantation. So,
need to drink more milk.
Damn, have a heart, bro.
Well, she got hit and snapped.
She did.
Like Joe Theismann out there.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a backyard football lesson that got a little bit away from him there.
I think Hill probably got
I
bet you Hill got dominated on the first two reps.
It's like,
and he called her out for a third rep, and then that's when he went out.
Line it back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Line it back up.
Coach, can we see that again?
Camaraderie.
Yeah, we got camaraderie.
Here is a great story from former NFL offensive lineman of the Patriots, Matt Light. He's on the Julian Edelman podcast.
They are funny together.
Listen to this guy talk about how he used to go hunting for deer and turkey right outside of the Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play football. Listen to Matt Light tell you this story.
I pulled up and I hunted that property forever because Mr. Kraft was like, I mean, look, he's like, I don't know anything about what you're doing. I'm like, all right, cool. It was like the green light, right? So I would hunt right behind a stadium where that Lawton's Farm, close to that, right?
Yeah.
And they're great people. I went in one morning, and this is awesome. This goes right back
practice.
To Bill. This is before, and this is in the off season. And I go to set up, and one of the security guys comes over. You know, like the guy with like the weird lazy eye?
Yeah.
And he's like.
I know that guy.
He's like, hey, man, you can't be here. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, no, I'm going to park right over here. I'm going to go in here and kill this bird. I roosted him last night. Like, I know where he's at. And by the way, it's 3 a.m. It's dark. So I get my stuff, and he's like kind of mumbling. And I walk right in. I set my tent up. I wait for it to get light. Bird gobbles, flies down, sits right next to my decoy. I shoot him. I breast him out. I take him in. I always put him in the fridge there in the meal room. And actually, sometimes the chefs there would cook up some stuff for me. It was awesome. But anyway, as I'm eating breakfast, Bill walks in, and he's like, "I mean, look, what are we doing? You can't have a fucking weapon on stadium property." And I go, "What?" I go, "Hey, Bill, this." I go, "The reason you're hearing about this is because, you know, Briggs is a d-head." I'm like, "I've hunted this thing forever." He's like, "I don't give a damn what you've done. You can't have a weapon on stadium property." I go, "Bill, it says you can't have a handgun. You can't have a gun on." I go, I didn't shoot a gun. I had a bow and arrow." He goes, "This is awesome." He goes, "You want to argue with me about what the rules say?"
That's good.
He does a pretty good Bill impression.
He's been hanging out with Edelman a lot.
They're hilarious, man, together. Yeah.
Edelman's impressions kind of rubbed off on Matt Light. I mean, Matt Light's had some great Belichick stories. The pranks that he's done on Belichick, he's been fantastic.
What an amazing! First of all, hunting with a bow, like you're a badass.
You are.
But doing that on the stadium grounds, where he's like, "Dude, my entire career I've been hunting these things, and now someone's letting the cat out of the bag. Don't come yell over at me here, Bill." But the fact that he's bringing carcasses into the kitchen area of the stadium.
Sometimes those chefs will whip something up for me.
He got dead animals in the freezer of Gillette Stadium until he can find a way to get it home himself. I mean, that's a pretty incredible story, and I imagine that's a one of one in terms of hunting at a football stadium.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I mean, Broadus, you're a football lifer. I don't think you've ever heard something like that.
I'll tell you, I've seen guys fish at a racetrack. Like a Daytona, a huge lake in the middle of the, and people go out and they fish.
I like that.
Yeah, so you can walk from the garage and go do a little fishing, but I don't think I've ever heard about hunting.
No, I mean, how many stadiums have a bunch of animals around to be able to hunt? That's crazy.
Yeah,
get some good eating at Lambeau. Anything we can hunt out there?
No, man, I'll tell you, those you go grocery
just dairy
shopping,
farms over there, man.
Yeah. Grocery shopping, like they have a thing called the Brat Shack.
Oh,
and you can literally, like, you park your car and you see the brat shack for $1. You get a brat with all the fixings.
Wait, is this like a little food truck kind of deal? Or
it's a shack. It's like
like the Home Depot guy that's cooking it up outside.
Yeah, and you just give like $1.
Those things
are $1.
You get a brat and you're walking around. Everybody's walking around like shopping with eating brats.
Wow, brat shack.
It is great.
Man, that sounds like a bucket list venue.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, thank you very much. Football's finest with Eric Chiafalo there. Let's hit the expressway, brought to you by the on-time experts. Tim McMahon was on with Sean and RJ this morning talking Klay Thompson and what's next this offseason for the Mavs. And then we get into LA Live at 5:40. That's next on The Fan. All right, let's hit the expressway, brought to you by the on-time experts. 35 minutes of uninterrupted radio gold here in the G-Bag Nation. We're about 15 minutes away from LA Live with Lucius Alexander. We're about to talk, we'll hear what Tim McMahon had to say on with Sean and RJ earlier today. Couple of headlines for you. We did get a big signing for the Orlando Magic, as they have brought in Jonathan Isaac, agreed to a 5-year, $84 million deal with him. Of course, they drafted him a couple of years ago. He's getting the big bag, and Donovan Mitchell got himself a new deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. I think there were a lot of rumors, like, would Donovan Mitchell end up going to the New York Knicks? He's kind of always flirted with that idea, but he gets the max extension from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Kemba Walker retiring today. 4-time All-Star, former Dallas Maverick, UConn great. I mean, we all will remember the run that he had with UConn to win a national championship.
Kemba and the Clutchman.
Just owning Madison Square Garden in that Big East tournament.
It was phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
They were like a first day qualifier for that thing.
Like, they had to win the tournament, I think, to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And they did. And then they end up going on that unbelievable run.
They were the first game out of the blocks on a Thursday.
Crazy.
Keep going.
Some Ranger Nuggets. Tyler Mahle will begin his rehab assignment with a AAA Round Rock tonight. Josh Young is day to day, and he apparently has not swung a bat, according to Sean McFarland, who is out there at the ballpark covering the Rangers, is listening to what Bruce Bochy and company had to say earlier. We'll talk with Jared Sandler at 6:00. He hasn't swung a bat since his last rehab game. He said there's tenderness, and basically right now they'll test it every day. They'll take it from there. I think when it comes to Mahle, I saw he's supposed to maybe throw 45 to 50 pitches as he continues to get himself ramped up. So there's some of your headlines around the sports world as we get you set. Of course, Rangers and Padres in your home of the World Series champs. The Texas Rangers coming up at 6:30 with the pregame show with Jared Sinner. We'll talk to Jared at 6 o'clock. Now let's get to some of these cuts from Tim McMahon, who was on this morning with Sean Argy. Man, they've been doing a great job. Their guest list has been crazy. It's been crazy, crazy good here.
It's the show of whales. It really is. That's what they do.
Big time whale show. I will start with McMahon cut three here. Is there anything else the Mavs could do this offseason, or are they done?
You know, there's always more that they can do. Nico Harrison is really trying to be very cautious with doing anything with the first round pick. They now have 25 and 31, you know, technically available to trade. But you know, that's all they have. So they're going to be very selective there. They have an open roster spot, not to get super geeky, but they're basically limited to a minimum salary in that spot. Maybe it's bringing back Markieff Morris, kind of as that locker room OG. He was a very valued voice last year. You know, the other thing that I could see is going after a guard, an on-ball defender type of guard who maybe slips through the cracks and is available for the minimum. And I tell you, your old buddy Dennis Smith Jr., if he's available for the minimum down the road,
wow,
he's become a pit bull defensively. I don't know if he will be. I don't know, you know, if he's going to be able to find more money somewhere else. I can say, though, there are people who are still fans of Dennis in the organization. Him and Luca are still buddies. And again, this is not about lottery pick Dennis Smith Jr. This is about, hey, you could use another guard on the roster,
yeah,
especially one who's a pit bull defensively. And, you know, he would make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I'm interested in DSJ. I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, you're talking about a bench piece. Certainly, you want a guy who can come in and be a good defender on guards, which is what you've lost with Derrick Jones Jr. Now, Najee Marshall might end up being better than we think when it comes to that. I know a lot of people have been texting in, like New Orleans believed he was kind of the SGA stopper to an extent. How does that translate just with SGA, or is it Ja Morant? I mean, Brian, you were telling us your sources with the Mavs. That was one area where they said, that is a downgrade from Derrick Jones Jr. But maybe DSJ, certainly probably not an expensive piece to add. That's a name that I wouldn't mind a reunion here with DSJ.
Yeah, if you can get him at the minimum, I think that works a ton. He's friends with Luka, so that always helps things, having another guy that can handle the ball and do some things that way. But as you mentioned, just having a guy that in a pinch can do some defending of super quick guards, I'd be totally here for it. So it makes all the sense in the world to me. I saw Mark J. Spears on ESPN just a few minutes ago. He's super connected with Klay and Golden State. Mm-hmm. He's like on that side of the country. And he mentioned just offhand about how something about Klay Thompson coming off the bench.
Oh.
So I wonder, we might need to do a little recon on that. I mean, your NBA Gang of Seven brought us perhaps, mm-hmm. but like the assumption has just been Klay Thompson's going to be a starter here. And I would still, I still feel that way. But hearing Mark Spears, who's super connected, like I said, with Golden State and with Klay Thompson, I wonder if that was just something that Klay was coming off the bench towards the end there with Golden State, so he was just saying it or what, but that was something that I just saw that was pretty interesting. And then the other thing I wanted to mention here as well in regards to Klay is a lot of people were kind of wondering, like, man, how much did Steph and or Draymond, like, go to bat for him to be like, hey, like, if wanted him, would... If Steph came in there, it was like demanding to the Golden State, like give him what he wants. And
maybe this is what you're getting to, because I think I saw, and we saw the same thing. Did he not ask Steph not to? He said like he didn't want him to do that, right?
Right. Yeah. Anthony Slater apparently reporting about Klay Thompson telling Steph not to demand that the front office pay him
because he wanted the team to want him.
Yeah, he was like, don't exert your influence. Don't demand that they do right by me financially. I want them to. I want them to do that on their own. It's just like...
it's really something he was frustrated with like all last year there. Like Richard Jefferson, I think, was telling a story on the NBA Today. He saw him on Christmas Day in an elevator. And he's like, man, you know, keep your head up. And he's like, dude, tell him to pay me. Like he was feeling the entire year kind of unwanted there, I guess.
Which explains the smear campaign that comes out after the fact, now that he's no longer a part of the team, and they're talking about how he was just as difficult, if not more so, they're behind the scenes than like Draymond Green is. And it makes a ton of sense. It was a year long of him understanding the way they felt about him and him having to reconcile that. Yeah. And then his play at times struggling, the team certainly struggling in a huge way. So him being frustrated basically all year long probably showed itself in a bunch of different ways. But it's certainly explainable. And I don't expect to get that same type of attitude here. But now I am wondering what the plan is role wise. Is he planning on coming off the bench here? I would still be extremely surprised by that.
And it might be one of those things. I mean, we also saw today that it was reported, I think Mark Stein had this, that their plan is Derek Lively is going to be their starting center next year.
Sure. Yes.
So they were rocking with Gafford as their starting five, and Lively would be coming off the bench, and they're focused, obviously, Lively to have an increased role, and he's going to start. I don't think Gafford cares, right? They're both going to get their playing time. So this could be a situation where, yeah, maybe there's some games that Klay Thompson is coming off the bench. He succeeded in that role. His numbers, I think, were very good when he moved to being a bench player for Golden State in the second half of the season. But they're probably will be games where he does start and he's in the starting lineup. So that could be that is something to monitor this offseason. Like, what is the Mavs plan overall? Because then who starts? I mean, Najee Marshall, is he the guy that ends up sliding in there?
That would be Najee Marshall.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I guess you're saying there we want it to be more of a defensive focused, starting five or whatever, but I don't know. We'll see. I thought another thing that was interesting, McMahon mentioned on the Hoop Collective podcast, I was listening there, the Brian Windhorst show, mentioned that Klay Thompson's financial advisor was AAU teammates with Jason Kidd. Oh, so like wow. The ties to the Mavericks with Klay Thompson, they are deep.
They're deeper than we even thought.
100%. 100%. Now, a lot of the questions about how he will fit here offensively with just the different styles that Golden State was playing, a much more motion-heavy offense. He's running around all the time trying to, make plays off screens and things, catch-and-shoot style. And it's obviously going to be a little bit different here with the Mavericks offense. Here's McMahon talking about this morning with Sean and RJ, Klay Thompson's transition from the Warriors offense to now the situation here with the Mavs.
Well, number one, I'm not going to try to match X's and O's wits with Tim Legler, right? I think he probably is going to be able to have a bit of advantage on me in that regard. But look, they're going to get Klay shots. Yeah. Like, if Tim Hardaway Jr. got a bunch of shots when he was on the floor, trust me, Klay Thompson's going to touch the ball. Klay Thompson's going to get not just three-point looks, but in a lot of cases, clean three-point looks. And if you're running pick and roll, Luka and Lively and Thompson Clay's on the weak side, like that seems like it could be pretty tough. The one thing that the Mavericks did last year that honestly I didn't believe would happen, Jake had told us it was going to happen in training camp. But I'm like, yeah, right. And it did. And that was they played fast. They were the seventh fastest paced team in the league, which, I was like, not playing fast with Luka, but Luka bought into it. And my point is, if they're playing fast, if they're pushing it, there's going to be threes that present themselves and opportunities that present themselves to Klay in those transition, semi-transition. And look, will they? If he hadn't touched in a while, will they sometimes run a play for him? Absolutely. They didn't go out and recruit Klay just to have him, stand out on the wing and pick his nose. Mm-hmm. But stylistically, it's going to be like I'm sure there will be an adjustment for him. But again, I think that they're going to figure out ways to make sure that he is involved and be maximized on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be some level of an adjustment there. It's obviously an adjustment he's more than willing to make, being that this is the decision he's made. Sure. So in real time, early on, there might be some of that. But as long as he's not frustrated by it and he's understanding that this is going to help extend his career, he's not going to have to do as much. It's less responsibility. Klay, you don't have to run around in a bunch of circles trying to get open for us to get you the ball. We're going to be able to do that in a much easier way here. And now your job is much more, it's much more straightforward. You are a three guy, and we're going to be doing a lot of catch and shoot stuff with you. Of course, we can draw up plays for you at any time. If you like your matchup, you can take your guy off the dribble if you so please. But for the most part, dude, your job just got a whole lot easier.
Which is an underrated aspect of Klay's game that we haven't really talked about a lot, right? I mean, the selling point is the catch and shoot threes. That was clearly a weakness that the Mavericks had in the finals, right? They
17%.
They didn't shoot the ball well, and guys like PJ Washington and Derek Jones Jr. that had shot the ball well maybe overperformed in the postseason. Clay is a guy that is consistent, has been in that regard, but he can put the ball on the floor and be able to facilitate and create his own shot. And that's something that the Mavericks also needed. It was basically just PJ Washington. It seemed like he was the only guy at times that was able to do that. Clay adds that style into it. And we've talked a lot today about Kyrie and his role in signing Clay, but McMahon on the impact that Kyrie had in signing Klay Thompson, and also Luka's reaction to it.
Well, you know, Luka's obviously busy. He's over in Europe. Actually, they've got an Olympic qualifying tournament game today. But my understanding is he's ecstatic. But look, the one thing that Luka isn't and might never be is a recruiter, right? He just doesn't have the same type of relationships you typically see from guys in that role. He doesn't have necessarily that kind of personality. Kyrie does, you know, and Kyrie has a relationship with Klay Thompson. They won a World Cup gold medal together. They won an Olympic gold medal together. Obviously, you know, they've competed against each other at the highest level in finals. And Kyrie was, I'm not going to say he was the lead recruiter. Like, you have to give Nico Harrison his due here. But Kyrie was a significant part of the process. And I talked to his agent and stepmom, Chantelle O'Reilly Irving, yesterday, and basically what she told me is, you know, with Kyrie, it's really not trying to sell Clay on, hey, here's why you should come to Dallas, but it's just having kind of honest, authentic conversations about, hey, you know, where are you in life? You know, what are you looking for? I think the message that Kyrie really gave to Clay is, you know what? What I found here in Dallas to this point is a sense of family. And my understanding is I didn't talk a lot about the way things ended for Kyrie in Brooklyn, the way things ended for Clay in Golden State. But the simple fact is, at both of their last stops, different circumstances, but they both felt underappreciated, you know, disrespected. And, you know, things have obviously really worked out for Kyrie here. He's happy. They just came off finals appearance. And Clay's looking for that same kind of that same kind of opportunity for, you know, not to get all hippy dippy, but peace and happiness.
And you hope he finds it here. I mean, he's a guy that was boating to the games in Golden State. Like, what's going to be his move here?
He's the captain of his own boat.
Yeah, heck yeah,
he's been a true West Coast guy,
yeah,
like his entire life. But, man, you know, he's going to be welcomed with open arms here in Dallas.
He's just going to be tearing it up on the lake, probably.
Yeah. Let's get him out there with Brian. Get him out there fishing.
I wonder if he fishes.
Oh, I would imagine.
He's on the water. He probably fishes.
Yeah, he's probably a fisherman. Yeah, it'll be fun to see how he ingratiates himself here into the city. A much different situation there geographically, but I look forward to this in a huge way. We're gonna be on the beat now, trying to figure out what's the plan for Klay Thompson. Is he really actually going to come off the bench, or is Mark Spears of ESPN just kind of just willy-nilly throwing that out there? I don't know, but that's an interesting development there. Segment here in the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Window Nation, also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Contact Frankel and Frankel for a free consultation. 817-333-3333 or go to truckwreck.com. I have seen something here that is popped up. Do you guys follow that Dallasites Instagram account that like just shouts
Dallas
out a
TV?
Bunch of these cool?
Yes.
No, but Dallasites.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Lucius.
Yes, I do.
All right, so they like shout out just like new stuff in the area to like,
yeah,
do, oh, okay, I guess, whatever, just like anywhere in the Metroplex.
And
yeah,
activities.
Restaurants, activities,
yeah,
and stuff. Have you seen this new like giant outdoor spa situation?
No.
With a bunch of different pools with a bunch of different temperatures, like freezing cold, like 40 degree style pools?
No.
All the way up to like heated pools. They got saunas. They got swim up bars. They got, I mean, it looks like one,
where
of the coolest
located
deals. This is in the, I believe it's in the Colony.
Okay. Oh, wow.
The Colony's opening up a lot of good stuff,
dude,
right
and,
now.
And the water's like mineral water. And I haven't stopped thinking about awful water news you broke to us yesterday, Lucius.
Yeah, it sucks,
mean,
man.
Gosh.
I had a whole gallon today, too, of that trash water.
Yeah. You're like, hey, if I bought it, if I stacked up on it, I'm going to go ahead,
sucker,
and clean this out. Yeah. It was tough to sleep at night last night remembering that. But this new mineral pool situation, I don't know. Is that something you would do with the boys? Is that a solo trip? Or is that a day-day with – because I think I would do that with my buddies.
I think,
like,
all
dude,
the
let's
above,
go, let's go,
man.
Like everything, right?
Swim up pool.
That's
open. Swim up bar. I'm in.
Saunas.
Yeah, I'm all of it.
Swim up bars. Yeah, those are the best.
Absolutely. Game changer.
Yeah, as long as there's not like a drink limit.
Yes.
These spas and stuff around here, there's a drink limit. You can have like two or three, and that's it.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, man, I plan on being here all day.
No, man.
Yeah, I paid $125 to step in here. Yeah. You're going to have three drinks? What are we doing?
Give me a break here.
I put my credit card up there and just keep my tab open.
Trying to get that drink package going.
Put mine on his tab.
Thank you.
All right. It's time for LA Live with Lucius Alexander.
Hey, so when Clay does get here to Dallas and he starts hitting them shots and he goes off, will we get a PBS logo with a shag on it, like the Luka thing?
Yeah.
Get a little PBS logo with the shag, question. Bro.
I hope so.
Need to put that on a t-shirt right now. Right now. All right, it's a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
It's time to smoke. That's weed. That's weed. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
They're all half buzzed out.
It'll make it buzzed dance.
Out. Buzzed out.
Everybody get high.
Yeah.
Look out.
I'm closing my eyes. I can't look at this. If we lose, I'm going to quit my job because the Texas Rangers suck. We're going to miss the playoffs if we lose. Here's the pitch, and it is under the gap. Oh, no, we're going to lose. No, we lost. As the Brewers score and the Texas Rangers lose 6-5. They are the worst f***ing baseball team in the state of Texas. The cheating Astros are better even when they're not cheating. As the Rangers get swept by the Milwaukee Brewers.
This is awful.
I meant the Pooers because they suck. Besides against the Rangers, because the Rangers are the f***ing baseball team to ever exist.
It's awful.
Behind the New York Yankees and the Houston Astros. Yeah, and he definitely pooped on that baseball. As we look at the replay, he put that in the perfect spot, just like I did to my girlfriend last night.
Oh, jeez.
And, yeah, so the Rangers will head to Baltimore after being swept by the ass Milwaukee Brewers. And everyone on the team is probably depressed, as they should be. But who gives a am I right? Wow.
Wow.
Boy, AI is going to get us out of here pretty soon,
AI,
dog. That was AI. That was not real for those that do not know.
I figured that was AI.
Not real.
The
I don't think the great Dave Raymond would be on the mic saying stuff like that, bro. This is LA Live for Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, which is sponsored by Kissable Dental. And their no-bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. And how you guys doing? Everybody all right?
Doing good, man.
Okay, let me get right back in it. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up, shawty, at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander, L-U-C-I-O-U-S, yes, that's my name on Facebook. Or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. All of our Twitter handles are in the bio. All right, I win it right here. Move that out the way. Boom, 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 boom. All right. Godfrey the comedian. I love Godfrey. He's a great guy. Very entertaining. He says stop interviewing fighters after the fight. They've had enough head trauma.
I don't even know why they talk to boxers like right away. Why do they do that? why do they do that? They do this on purpose. Why do you talk to the boxer right after the fight? Give him a time to rest. His brain has been beaten in, especially the part of the speech area. Give him the microphone, quickly. Former heavyweight champion right here. What a fight. You had it, man. Ninth round knockout. It was This was planned. He didn't hit that hard, baby. He didn't hit that hard. Oh, yes, he did. Because you don't know where the f*** you are. Anyway, I did what I can. God bless me.
God bless me.
Oh, no, God didn't. He blessed me with everything. I'm making a comeback. Oh, no, you're not.
No.
Ah, my man Godfrey, bro. Matter of fact, I think his podcast is tonight. Ooh. What's that Godfrey pod? A lot of stuff to watch, man. I'll catch up on those 30 for 30s.
Mm.
House of Dragon.
Yeah, I need to catch up, too.
Oh, I love the House of the Dragons. That's how we say it, the House of the Dragons. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Toxic Tuesday. Let's go to Iowa, boys, if you will.
Right.
Robin, me to Iowa. North Liberty, in fact. If you guys have anybody ever heard of North Liberty, Iowa?
Mm-mm.
That's good. That's okay, man. I don't judge any different.
Thank you.
We got a North Liberty woman arrested for calling police to get out of an online date. She set this up, you know. She got cold feet just before meeting someone she met through a dating app. She got cold feet. The guy came to pick her up, and he was detained for more than an hour due to the false allegations.
You're kidding.
More than an hour, she got cold feet. Wow. The 18-year-old woman called 911 right after midnight to report that her abusive, listen to this, her abusive ex-boyfriend was texting her, threatened to hit her, punch her, kick her, and stab her. I mean, she put it all together, didn't she?
Yeah, she rattled it off, checked
hurry
all the boxes.
Hurry up and get on out here.
Yeah.
He's going to punch me, kick me, stab me. She also reported that she was pregnant with the man's baby.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The man that she had never met before?
False allegations.
That's crazy,
dude. It's false allegations. Officers found the man leaving the house. He reportedly told officers he had just met this lady a week ago. I met this lady a week ago. How is she pregnant already? And I'm going to stab her and kick her and punch already?
Yeah, that's usually at least a month into
this. Yeah, what are we doing? The love already wear off here?
We're still in the honeymoon phase.
Come on. Yeah, so after the third interview, the police said Thomas, the lady, admitted to making up the false allegations because she got cold feet before meeting this man and no longer wanted to meet him. So instead of just saying, hey, man, it's just, I don't know, it's just not clicking, it's not going to work for us, or just ghosting him.
Ghosting.
Yeah.
They're usually pretty good at ghosting
around
here.
They're really good at ghosting,
Well, they will ghost you over something. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's a move you got to have in your arsenal. You got to have in the clip here, you got to have the ghost bullet before the lie and get the police involved.
Yeah,
bullet,
before
you know what
we
mean?
Start saying I'm about to get stabbed, kicked, punched, and all this other stuff.
That one's just not in the arsenal.
In that exact order, ma'am? Or?
Yeah, she got arrested for that. Poor lady, 18 years old, she learned. Well, I see there's a business opportunity right here. People that want to get out of dates and stuff and situations, we got to come up with something that kind of calls that other individual and throws things for a loop. Maybe I call you during a date and make it act like it's real big, you know? Uh-huh. Oh, my God, it's an emergency. You need to come over here.
I got to go.
I got to go, man. I got to pick up Lucius.
Yeah. I got a daughter.
Yeah,
I got a daughter.
I got a daughter.
Gotta go. See you guys.
Thanks for the time.
For those that do not know what we're talking about, when we reference I got a daughter, Gavin Dawson went to eat with us in a Tolo.
Yeah.
She works at the zoo, which was really, really cool.
She's a vet.
Rachel, she's the goat.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as Dawson was finished with his meal and the conversation was kind of just dwindling there a little bit, Dawson looked around and said, hey, I gotta go. I got a daughter.
And he left.
And he got up and left. I was like, oh, that works.
It was amazing.
I got it. Was.
The place closed 5 minutes later, so we all left.
It was a marvel watching it in real time.
I
got a daughter.
I got a daughter. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Hold on, boss. Hold on, boss. Hey.
Him and Steve Miller went to school together.
Did they?
Yeah, St. Mark's over
talent.
In Dallas. Yeah,
that's talent.
Wait, he's from Dallas, Bob?
Yeah, Boz Skaggs.
Oh, my God, bro. That's why I used to always hear him on the 107.5, The Oasis.
The Oasis, there you go.
That's why I used to study to The Oasis.
Plato Shuffle.
Yeah, LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Toxic Tuesday. We have a Minnesota woman running for office. She got herself arrested.
Oh, gosh.
She's a budding Minnesota lawmaker. Her name is Marissa Simonetti.
Okay.
Simonetti.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, Simonetti. One of them joints.
We determined that these Marissas are all trouble, right?
Marissa.
Didn't we determine that? Didn't I have a Marissa story the other day?
I don't know.
Or the Marissa. We got to look out for Marissas.
Yeah, we got to look out for Marissas.
Marissa sounds like a big sister that always gets in your business. Yeah. Marissa. Marissa. No, Marissa wants to use the phone. I'll call you back.
Hey, shout out to the Marissa outlier, though. That is Tomei.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei still.
But she, that's obscene. Oh, there was a Marissa that was in that same thing, and she was like a looker.
You might be right, dude.
They might be very attractive, but they might be trouble.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, if she's a Marissa, then she's got something going on.
No,
I'll look this up. Go ahead.
You good, man. As soon as you say the word remember to me.
That's weed.
I'm like, oh,
Come on, you remember.
But shout out to Marissa Tomei. Is that her name?
Yep. Yeah.
She's on this movie called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Marissa.
Oh, I'm telling you, bro. Yeah, man, come on.
Putting that one on the list of must watch.
Oh, my God. It's a good movie, too. Go ahead, Broadus.
Marissa was our 71-year-old Miss Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's right. That's how we got in the Marissa Tomei conversation.
There we go. Back to you, Lucius.
No, big ups to her, man.
Very juggy.
Yeah, she did her damn thing. I bet her husband is proud if he's still here with us. Hey, I'm just saying, you know.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah. she is running this Marissa Simonetti. She's running to be a county commissioner. But she was arrested on assault charges after she accused of throwing a tarantula on one of her housemates. Yeah, this another individual named Jackie Vasquez is renting a room from Marissa. And, you know, this is, I mean, some high-powered people here. We got somebody that wants to be a lawmaker. We have another lawyer. But it didn't go out good. She told the lawyer, I want you out of here. Lawyer didn't want to leave, which I think is kind of weird. If somebody says, get out of here, you still stay. Yeah. That's kind of strange, bro.
Yeah.
But she decided to stay, so an argument ensued. Somebody started throwing stuff at her. Marissa started throwing stuff at the lawyer. And she also threw a tarantula, a pet tarantula she had. Let's go to this News Nation report over it.
Wannabe Minnesota lawmaker Marissa Simonetti accused local...
Simonetti. I was close.
You got there. Yeah.
You get points.
I said Simonetti. Male.
Simonetti.
Minnesota lawmaker Marissa Simonetti accused local attorney Jackie Vasquez of being a squatter. Now, Simonetti... isn't the homeowner. Somehow she was still able to rent a room out to Vasquez, who apparently refused to leave after she was asked. But Vasquez said she paid to stay there. When things got out of control during their dispute, Vasquez took her phone out to record Simonetti's attempts to scare her away.
Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Woo!
That girl screaming right there, that is Simonetti. Simonetti?
Yep.
Yeah, this is some wild stuff. You can see this on the internet if you want to go look at it.
The spider thing.
She fits the Marissa. She's so hot.
Tarantulas are quite docile and rarely bite people.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're just scary looking.
They defend themselves by throwing needle-like hairs at their attackers.
Oh, like little
female?
Porcupine?
Tarantula. Female tarantulas can live 30 years or longer in the wild. Variety of colors and shapes, but I think the number one thing is they rarely bite people.
I mean, needle hair is a little bit frightening, but
sounds like a cactus.
They just look more terrifying.
They
than
look
really
awful.
Scorpions sound worse than the tarantulas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, in terms of damage.
Let's keep going with this. Sir.
She's now facing a misdemeanor assault charge and still laughing about the whole thing.
That tarantula thing, that Home Alone, that Kevin McAllister, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But now...
So you were just trying to be funny.
I mean, there is an element of humor to that movie, yes. And at the end, what was I supposed to do?
It looks and it sounds a little unhinged. You sound a little unhinged in that video.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, unhinged got her out of the house. I'm good at creatively solving problems, and at the end of the day, I didn't physically harm anybody. I'm a little unconventional in my ways. I'm a silly goose.
I'm a silly goose.
And vote for me.
Yeah. Unconventional, but it's pretty smart. It's real smart of me. I pat myself on the back. I threw a spider at the girl. She didn't want to leave my house. I said, how about this?
She was like, there's nothing else I could have done.
Yeah, what else can I do?
We've all found ourselves in that situation where the only possible thing to do is throw a tarantula.
Well, you know what this means now. Got to throw a tarantula. Hey, did I say the wide receiver on our high school football team had a tarantula?
No.
Yeah, they call that joint Harry.
Oh, man.
I feel like I've seen one here just in Texas.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the yard. I feel like I've seen a tarantula. Mm. But I moved just as fast as it did, so I didn't get a real good look at him. but it was huge.
Big beefy spiders is what they're described
big,
as.
Big beefy spiders. Yes. It's hysterical. Disgusting.
I don't want any part of that.
That is no,
that's
a,
like that's the number one seed for most like most nightmares that I've had involve spiders.
Like eight-legged
freaks. Course of my life. Yeah, eight-legged freak style. Just weird spider nightmares that I've had throughout my life.
When you pick your shoes up, do you hit them so something will fall out?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I don't want that brown recluse or whatever they call it.
Oh, that's the most devastating one.
I had a buddy hole in your dog. And it was disgusting what happened to him.
I don't want any of that. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, before we get out of here, one of the podfathers. When I say podfather, I mean podcast. Who is a podfather? One of the podfathers.
Joe Rogan.
Okay, yes.
Adam Carolla.
There we go. Adam God Carolla, doggy right. Boy, you're on fire today. You on fire today.
That dude, Adam's a trendsetter, man.
Adam is, he is, and he's ridiculous. Adam joined, what is this, a panel discussion on News Nation after the presidential debates? Or a presidential debacle,
whatever you want to call it.
For one of the segments, Cali Governor Gavin Newsom joined the show to react to the debates. He's on there to react to the debates. But Adam Carolla caught Gavin Newsom off guard and asked him about some old stuff. How about that COVID-19 stuff you did, bro?
Adam Carolla here. Governor, why did you shut the beaches in California during COVID?
That is not a Biden or Trump question.
Not at all.
Oh. Yeah, I think we all were working on information at the time. We had no basis of deeply understanding the virus. I think they
so
did the
didn't
same
know
thing.
Anything, did the so same why'd thing you shut the
states
beaches?
States like Florida.
If you didn't know anything, why'd you shut the beaches?
Well, we didn't know. Yeah, because people were concerned early in the pandemic. Information was coming out as it related to how it was transferred, the disease, and people were cautious, trying to keep people alive. And I should say this,
so
Adam,
you didn't
you
let
know
them go
this
in the
health,
sunshine
and
get vitamin
California
D
outperformed.
And exercise, so you shut the beaches. Okay. And you arrested a guy who was paddleboarding
so
in the bay.
On health, wealth, and...
Yeah, any
it's
science
good
behind
to see
that?
Adam and,
any science
we're
at all
geniuses
behind shutting
in
outdoor dining? Why'd
we're
you shut down outdoor dining?
Go ahead, Governor.
Science.
Good to see
you,
Adam.
Based on science, you didn't have.
At the end of the day, the debate tonight.
It's not a debate. You shut down outdoor dining. You canceled businesses. Had nothing to do with science.
All right, let him finish.
Keep blind. All right, go ahead.
I have a feeling.
No, you go. No, you go.
I love a good delay.
I have a feeling my man here is playing the big picture here. He's thinking Gavin Newsom is going to jump in and be a presidential candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting ahead of the game.
He's pushing it back right now.
On the questions. He's getting ahead of this. Like, he's thinking, okay, that guy, that Biden, he's not going
to
get.
We're about to pepper you hard with this.
Gavin Newsom's about to be our candidate. Get ready.
That's your boy right there. Podfather. Oh, right. Adam Carolla. All right, Lord willing, creek don't rise. That's my time. See you boys tomorrow.
Thank you
with
very
much. With
some
questions for the Tolos.
Ooh. Thank you. Ooh, yeah. I'm excited. Lucius Alexander, Everyday LA Live at 540-ish right here in the Fan. All right, let's get you set. Rangers, Padres, they're back in action at home at the Globe. Jared Sandler joins us. Let's go around the bases with Sands, brought to you by Uber Eats next.